My name is Frank Waters, and I have recovered from a lot of things. I saw a guy yesterday, one of my brothers in recovery, and I looked at him. I said, "How's our sponsor doing?" He goes, "I saw him about 2 months ago." It's like, and of course, tonight, you know, I get to see my sponsor for the first time. And, you know, every 2 or 3 years, you need to see those guys, you know. And if it all goes well, I'll tell you his name. But if it doesn't go very well, he wants to just be anonymous. We're all come here today to memorialize Terry Gilbert. There's a lot of people here tonight that haven't seen each other in a long time. And it takes somebody like him to bring us together. There's a lot of people that wish they could be here. And hopefully we'll carry this message of love and service back to those that ask us questions later. I want to welcome you here to where Terry spent a lot of time here. And of course, that's not to say that Terry didn't spend a lot of time everywhere. And the most irritating thing about Terry in a meeting was when Terry got in that parking lot out there and parked his truck, he would put his cell phone inside the truck and walk in the building. So you couldn't talk to him if you saw him or text him, or, you know, he wasn't interested. And when he got through whatever he was doing, he would go back out to that truck, pick up that phone, turn it back on, and call his wife. He was forever calling her. I don't know if that was a guilty conscience or just a lot of love. I don't know. I was at that wedding. I was around Terry a lot. Terry is one of the reasons why I served on the board of directors at NAPA. I said, "Well, why would you want me on there?" He goes, "Because you don't belong to anybody." I'm like, "I've been married several times." He goes, "No, you don't belong to any cliques. You know anybody, you know, push you in one direction or the other." I'm like, "Okay." And it'd be damned if he didn't somehow sway the votes and get me put on the board for 13 boards. And Terry would get on the board, accomplish what he wanted to accomplish, and then resign. I'm like, that is not about love and service, I don't believe. That's about being self-centered and self-seeking and just doing what the hell I want to do. But you know, whatever. And I was privileged to be one of Terry's children's uncles. She's still with us. She's down in Florida right now. Some guy sitting her. But those of you that know her, or just love her, her name's Opal. And the dog had no boundaries. If you were sitting down, she would step on you and step on things you just wish she hadn't. But she was just a lovely, lovely dog. Still is. The only dog I've ever seen sit on the back of a Harley and bark at me over the fence. And she would bark until I came and got inside the fence with her. And I know Terry loved that dog. That dog loved Terry. And that boy, I mean, he always had an animal or somebody he was bringing into his house to heal. Occasionally we'd have one of these people that would be like, we'd be like their uncle to them. And she's here tonight. So much service work in so many different areas of just, it's hard to call it service work without just calling it being kind to your fellow man. To seeing a need for something and stepping in and stepping aside. You know, he didn't want any fanfare. He didn't want this, that, and the other thing. About the only thing I can think that Terry wanted was for his wife to answer the phone when he called her. And I spent several nights over at that house. But usually by myself with Opal and some other dogs. But it's hard to talk about Terry without kind of losing my voice. I'm here to welcome you. And people that quite possibly can talk without cracking up are going to come up here and share with you. A good friend of ours is going to come up and do the eulogy, and 4 or 5 men are going to come up and talk about Terry. So y'all just bear with us. I don't see any Kleenex. That was an oversight by the NAPA Club, I'm sure. But I'm going to sit down over here before I fall down. And I believe it, John, you want to come come on up.
Everybody, I'm John, and I'm an addict, and I have not recovered. I am recovering. Anyway, it is because I'm married. Carrie, thank you for asking me to be a part of. There's nowhere else I'd rather be today than celebrating Terry. He meant a lot to me, personally, and my wife. I wasn't prepared for this either. When I first got clean, I'm a Narcotics Anonymous, so excuse my language. When I first got clean, Terry would call me and find out, you know, what meeting I was going to. And I thought that was him just checking up on me, right? And it was that. You know, later on we kind of talked about it. It was me making a commitment to make a meeting that day. But a lot of times Terry would show up because he knew I was struggling when I first got clean and didn't have rent money, didn't have food. Terry would show up and just put some money in my pocket. And there were times that's all I had. And that's the type of friend Terry was to me. Many years later, I was able to somewhat pay some of that back to Terry. You know, anytime Terry needed anything, I was always willing to be there and be a service to Terry. Because Terry was a service to me and a lot of others. You know, there's a lot of others in here that can talk about how, you know, Terry impacted their lives. But, you know, talking about the calls to Carrie, you know, Terry and I traveled across the country a couple times and on bikes. That was one of the things that was a priority on every day was the phone call to Carrie. You know, that no matter where we were at, no matter what we were doing, when a certain time come, he would pull up and he'd be like, pull over. And I would think you needed gas or wanted something to eat. He's like, I got to call my wife. So we'd stop so he could call Carrie. And that was endearing, man. There's a lot of things about Terry that I've emulated in my life. And like I've told, you know, my brothers and sisters, when we went down to Florida and see Terry, and that was one of the things I said, if you don't have a Terry in your life, get one. Because that is a hell of an example of how to live with integrity, how to love a woman, a spouse, and how to give back whenever it's needed without fanfare. You know, there was something that Frank mentioned about him that is absolutely true. He didn't want the accolades. He just wanted to be of service. And I got a friend here that we used to hunt together, and every year Terry would make sure that we got him a deer for the NAVA cookout. So that was, you know, one of those. Where the deer came from for many years was from us. You know, I think y'all know that Terry did that every year. It was really important for him before he moved to Florida. I think he even came up a couple of years after he was gone to make sure that happened. So let me get on. Just wanted to kind of remember Terry in a few thoughts that I had. And I've got some funny ones, but I'll save them for later if we have an opportunity. So the theme of Terry's eulogy is things we cannot change. There are moments in life that remind us how little control we truly have. Moments that shift everything, leaving us standing still while the world keeps moving. Losing Terry is one of those moments. It's one of those things we cannot change. But even in that truth and the ache of what we've lost, there is something Terry would want us to see. That while we can't change the course of life, we can choose how we walk through it. And Terry walked through his life with grace, humor, and an open heart. Terry was many things: a husband, a friend, a steady presence. To Carrie, he was the love of her life, her partner in all things, the person who could make her laugh even in the hardest moments. To his friends, he was the one who showed up, not for attention or recognition, but because that's simply who he was. He didn't measure friendship by words, but by action. And those actions spoke volumes. He had a way of grounding people, of making them feel safe, understood, and valued. He carried himself with quiet strength and humble confidence that made others stronger just by being near him. And though he might not have said it out loud, Terry believed in living with integrity and kindness, even when life didn't make sense. There are things we cannot change: the passing of time, the turning of seasons, the mystery of why some lives are cut shorter than we ever expected. But we can carry forward the love that Terry gave us. We can hold on to the laughter he shared, the lessons he lived, and the warmth he left in every room he entered. Carrie and Terry's life together was full, not because it was perfect, but because it was real. They faced life's challenges together, hand in hand, never pretended it was easy, but always finding their way through. And around them stood a host of dear friends who were part of the story, who celebrated their joys and carried their burdens alongside them. That community and that love is part of Terry's legacy. So today, even as we face something we cannot change, we honor Terry by doing what he did best, loving deeply, forgiving freely, and showing up for one another. We will miss him deeply, endlessly, but his presence remains in the people he loved, in the laughter he sparked, and in the courage he showed us all. Rest easy, Terry. Thank you for the life you lived and for reminding us that even when we can't change the world around us, we can still change the way we love within it. Thank you, Terry.
Tony T, Danny H, and Chris L, and Tom, you know who you are, Tom. So if y'all are coming up in that order.
I love you.
Yeah, you better.
I'm Tony Taylor, and I'm an alcoholic. So I was in a similar situation in 2007. Y'all remember Woody?
Yeah.
I loved what Frank said about him. Well, that morning before the service, I was so busted up about that I couldn't even look at the sign that said Claremont because it hurt my heart. And I needed a sponsor quick. So Frank and Terry wandered in down in the cafeteria and they walked up hovering over me. And I looked at Terry and I said, Terry, I need a temporary sponsor. He said, okay, that'll be fine, but Frank needs to help me. I said, that's fine. He said, well, Woody told us, ain't got to worry about you drinking, got to worry about you and women. He says, we're here for you. Well, essentially, I pared it down to Frank was going through some crap at the time, so I leaned on Terry. But Frank came in real handy at one point. Terry, I watched how he treated his wife. And I didn't know how to treat women that way. And I could call Terry and I could start in on the problem as I perceived it. I don't want to hear what she did. What did you do? He never wanted to hear about the party. That is, Hazel was the same way. We don't want to hear about them. What did you do? I've had 1,000 memories in the course of this day about Terry. One is, y'all probably never got to see Terry in a dress. Oh, my God, you should have seen it. He's walking around the airport in a dress with a purse. And high heels, wasn't it, Terry? And he would do that for his wife. So they got me involved in Relay for Life, and the next year, I was Dolly Parton with a mustache. I'm going to tell you, that was some fun stuff. We pulled jets. Terry would not let me go long without hearing from him. He called me. If I didn't call him, he called me. What are you doing? Y'all ever heard that? What are you doing? You ever hear this? I gotta go. I mean, you'd be in the middle of this long story. You want to understand every detail of the story. I gotta go. Damn, what happened there? So I started pulling it back on. But he did, he cherished his dogs. I dog sat many times, baby. And the black one. I can't remember the.
Cheyenne.
Yeah. And I used to sit over there in that house while they were all gallivanting around the universe, usually in Michigan. And when he moved to Florida, he called me all the time from Florida. Why don't you just move back one day? But he was sponsoring people in Florida. And one year when they were doing the cookout, and he went to get the meat somewhere in Columbus, I think. I said, what kind of meat did you get? Well, we got some pork, we got some this and that and the other, and got some ostrich. I said, you're shitting me, you got ostrich? Yeah, a little bit, not much. And I ran over here because I wanted some ostrich. It was all gone. I'm like Frank. I want to break up. I just do. I'm going to miss him so much. I saved the last voicemail I got from him, just like I do to Woody, just so I could listen to it over and over again, because his voice, he was like my big brother, big, big brother. And when I first started coming here, little Terry was here, Tommy. And y'all remember Tommy hobbling around. And when Tommy died, Terry said, could you go over to my brother's apartment and clean it out for me? And I felt like it was such an honor that he would ask me to do that. I really did. And he treated me so well, so very, and my wife, Jane, she's not my wife, but she is, you know. She just, we don't have a contract set up here. I'll just say, Terry, I love you. You know I love you. I knew you loved me, and I miss you, and you'll always be right here. Thank you.
Years ago, you jumped up there.
Yeah.
I don't
want to
show off and take
the jump. Hey, y'all. I'm Chris. Friend of Jerry's. I'm a recovering person, a recovering addict. Hey, I planned this joke. I feel underdressed. Hang on, bear with me. Put on a little Harley gear. All right. Okay, I got my cry in yesterday. That thing hit me and I couldn't hold it back. I took all my material. Terry was like a brother to me, man. It was almost like we had the same mother and the same father. Terry was like a big brother figure to me. Man, one of the best examples of a recovering person. And y'all have already said the Carrie jokes, but my thing is, if you talk to Terry on the phone and he stayed on that phone longer than 2 minutes, he likes you. You know what I mean? And all I learned a lot about, what I learned, one of the things Terry taught me was, and at the time I wasn't married, and now I am married, and he taught me, he was a good example of putting your spouse, putting your wife before everybody else. They call it in the streets bae, before everything else, before all others, everything else. He loved recovery, he loved Carrie, he loved his dogs, he loved his Harley. Not necessarily in that order, right? He loved his sponsor. He's Isaac. He would always ask me about you. Good to see you. Tim, I know of you. Got a chance to participate in that memorial ride yesterday. I missed the memorial due to anybody rides a Harley, you know something's going to happen, you know. So I had to work on it, tinker, put a battery in it. But I was able to hang out up there and caught the guys on the way back. I was able to go and break bread. So I still feel like I got my ride in with Terry in the tour pack of that CBO. So I was grateful for that. I'm going to say a few more things, and again, I was told I had 6 minutes. I probably babbled two of them. So I'm going to speak on the infinity ship. But back to Terry again. Here's my impression of Terry. Gary just pulled up. I got to go. Talk to you later. Click. He's gone. So he had his priorities in order. He didn't waste time. Terry was just a good dude, y'all. You know, and the thing about Terry is that, and I babbled some few things down because I didn't want to get up here and not remember, but it was like, if you came to him with what was going on with you, he was going to give you some feedback. You know what I mean? But it was always good, sound, prudent suggestions and advice. And Terry saw the good in situations. He saw the good in you. And he would point out things for me that maybe I took for granted. You know, and he was always uplifting and encouraging. You know, and I love that about Terry. Me and Carrie yesterday said that he was the ultimate optimist. And that was Terry. And he would tell me, well, you're taking care of your kids. You're taking care of your mom. You're doing this. You're doing that. You're staying clean. And, you know. I'm like, wow, I'm doing all that. So he saw the best in us, man. Terry was sincere. He was honest, trustworthy. Man, I'm so grateful for the time to
take.
I'm grateful for the time that I was able to spend with him. You know, we got a born date and a death date and that dash in between. You know, he lived out that dash, you know. And Terry, thank you for not holding him back from his excursions and whatnot. I know he went to the West Coast and all that, and, you know, sounds like you were good with it, you know. He got it in, y'all. He lived to the fullest. Terms of service, you know, and I admired him. I've never been to this clubhouse. I knew of it, and I know that Terry would do a lot of acts of service, including, you know, the grilling of the meat and everything. And the thing about it, he wouldn't have just the run-of-the-mill stuff. He'd have beef and pork, and there was going to be some venison, you know. There was going to be some other stuff, some ostrich, and I think one time he grilled a mongoose. I still don't know how he caught that mongoose, but he caught it. Those are jokes. But, you know, and here's the thing, you know, that was part of some open-mindedness because, you know, certain times you may not be exposed to some of that wild game, you know, and you know, that was cool. That's the open-mindedness that we talk about. So, Carrie asked me to talk about the Infinity Chip, and I had to, you know, that was the one thing that I wanted to do. There was a story behind this chip, and I ain't going to tell y'all all the details, but I had to order it 3 times to get it. But Cherry was worth it. One got lost in the mail. I sent the money to the wrong person and didn't want to return it. Infinity, that word is of Latin descent. Infinity, infinite means limitless or endless in space, extent or size. Impossible to measure or calculate. That's Cherry. Terry's love for others was immense, always looking to touch others and to be of service in his own special way. I already mentioned how he cooked meat and all that good stuff, and, you know, he provoked open-mindedness through the taste buds. And, you know, I can only imagine that he and him, Patty, are in heaven talking about recovery and harness. Terry was tough, y'all. He rolled hard, and I know he slid down 285 and survived it, so I started calling him Leatherback. That was my little nickname for him. So let me read about this chip so I won't be too long. This medallion, the Infinity symbol, it is a powerful symbol of eternal sobriety, clean time, recovery, okay? And it features a vibrant white tri-space, I'm sorry, a vibrant white tri-plate design and a serene prayer on the back. With a graphite epoxy dome, and it's 34 by 3 millimeters in size. But it's a beautiful way to commemorate the life of a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous, or NA, who's passed. The Infinity symbol is not an official Narcotics Anonymous emblem, but it is featured on popular unofficial medallions. It is used to commemorate members who have died sober and clean. And the symbol represents ongoing recovery of healing. So Terry is healed and whole. And the limitless possibilities of recovery, as opposed to the official NA symbol, which has different layers of meanings. It says the Narcotics Anonymous NA Infinity Medallion is not a standard official NA issued medallion, but a commemorative piece often given in memory of a clean member who has passed away. The medallion's history and significance are noted in the broader meaning of the Infinity symbol as it applies to the NA program and the lives of its members. And this symbol also borrows from a wider symbolism. While the NA medallions mark specific time, milestones, and feature the program's official logo, the Infinity medallion origin is tied to the concept of eternal sobriety and remembrance. Terry's gone from us physically. I think he'll live with us in our hearts forever. So that being said, y'all, thank you for listening. Thank y'all for being a part of Terry's life. And Terry, we love you, and we present this to you.
I'm Tom. I'm a recovered alcoholic. And I was in this meeting all full of spiritual men studying from another book, and this guy said, I'm going to have to share this story. And I'm embarrassed because this is going to make me cry in this guy, because I got two words for you. Jesus wept. It's okay to cry. Terry, man, he was, Terry was a manly man. He was a tough man. And after you got through that in the beginning, he came in here wearing that armor, right? I want to say he came in 94 and bounced around until, 98? So I was pretty skinny then, and I used to come running up, get a running start, and I'd hit him hard as I could. And one time I caught him by surprise, and he literally took one step this way. Let's just say he was a solid guy in more ways than one. Ooh, what an amazing man, and what a story of redemption. Coming from where he came from and how many people he helped. Our textbook says, it gives a couple of examples, but it literally says a couple of times, our past becomes an asset. You know, it was a season, not a life sentence. I dig up that past anytime I can use it to help somebody that thinks they're alone or different. They got that darkness and they're looking at their shoes and I get to go, I did that. You know, and Terry was able to do that. He found his purpose here. You know, but while he was down trying to find his purpose, we were at Triangle Club one night, and this kid walked in, thought he was tough, right? He had a chain that went from his ear to his lip. And that's like a challenge to pull that thing out if he said the wrong thing, right? So, he was on the phone, and Terry politely said, I need to use that phone when you get done. And he turned around and had some choice words for him, and he had popped off to everybody in that clubhouse. And Terry just said, what did you say? And he started walking towards him. I don't think I've ever seen anybody run so fast in my life, you know. Yeah, I guess he's kind of doing the tour now. Florida, what a fitting thing for Terry. Terry was a traveling man, but he impacted so many people. I've done quite a few road trips, but not one like Terry and John did a couple times, you know, and I talked to Terry a couple times. I think they're in Kingman. Just what a cool thing. You want to talk about freedom? Terry knew freedom. Freedom is when I can walk into a bar placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. And somebody's getting trashed, and it doesn't make me want to drink or join them in the parking lot for something else. That's freedom. That issue's been settled for me. My track record says I can't. And Terry came to the realization that his track record told him he couldn't. He impacted a lot of people, and he continues to impact people today. You know, my first sponsor used to say, you want to know where you're at with humility? Bald-headed guy. You remember him, Isla. He was big in Narcotics Anonymous, too. He'd say, you want to know where you're at with humility? Do something for somebody and keep your mouth shut about it. I'm like, I want to tell everybody. I wanted to come to a meeting, raise my hand, and say, guess what I did? Terry did stuff for people. He got that a lot quicker than I did. He did stuff for people and kept his mouth about it. I was on the board up at Howe Place in Woodstock, and this guy goes, when did our parking lot striped? I went, I know a guy. I called up Terry, and he came up there with his trailer like a couple days later and his helper, and painted all the stuff up, excellent job like he always does. And a member of the board comes up and goes, here, I need to pay you. And Terry goes, pay my helper. You know, that's the kind of guy he was. He did things for the goodness of doing things. And money was secondary. It was a way to help people. He laid some money on me a couple times. You know, just what a blessing it was to know a guy like that. I've kind of come to the conclusion now, when I do something for somebody, I'm going to keep my mouth shut about it if it glorifies me. That's what Terry did. But if it glorifies the God I serve, I'm going to tell everybody. When the right time came, Terry told people what he needed to tell them. I just really admire the guy. I got other Terry stories, but I'll save them. So, thank you.
Thank you for asking me to do this, Kerry. I'm Danny Heath, and I'm a recovering alcoholic and addict. Probably didn't know Kerry as well as some of you, but he was very important to me and a very close friend. I didn't share all the funny times, as some of you did, but he was one of the first ones to welcome me back when I came in a little over 20 years ago in 2005. He preceded me by 7 years, but I first ran into him at an NA meeting in the 80s, went to NA. I wasn't working a program, but I went to the meetings for 6 years. There's several other guys here tonight that were there. I remember I was crying in that first meeting. You looked at me, Eddie, and said, "It's okay, men do cry." It helped a lot. John was there, and guys like Terry, you know, they come across as a tough SOB and really a hard ass. And I don't know if you've seen the smart ass side of them as much as I did, but I used to see that every once in a while. A lot of times say, "How's that working out for you?" But he had a big heart, and there was a soft side to Terry. If you got to know him well enough, you knew he had a big heart. I gained so much from him just by watching him. You know, when I came in, you know, if you had a couple of years, you were an old timer. I learned by example. I remember I got involved with the men's barbecue. One year, and he says, "Hey, you going to help out with the barbecue this year?" I said, "I beg your pardon?" And he said, "Yeah." He says, "We're short a couple of people, and I know you need some stuff to do." And I started explaining to him I had some things going on that weekend. And he says, "Well, you can get to it after we're done." And I knew there was no arguing or excuses. And I wound up having a great time. But I watched Terry devote so much of his time to service to others. I learned the principles of humility and discipline from him. I looked at the rewards that he had in his life and all the people he knew, the relationships he had, and you. I was jealous of the relationship he had with you. He's one of those guys that put family first. I admired that. You know, he was never a guy who came across a big shot or won a bunch of attention, but he was a giant to me. He and I got pretty close when I started going through some hard times, going back about 5 years ago. I want to thank you, too, for that period. I leaned on Kerry and Terry for a couple of years when I couldn't go to meetings. I was at home taking care of my mother. You know, I look back yesterday and this morning, and I don't know how I made it without somebody like Terry and just calling me every week and just saying, "You're doing the right thing. Don't worry about what your brothers think." I just remember praying so many times. I would remember that he said, "God's going to give you the strength you need." And he did. But Terry also gave me strength too. And thinking about what I wanted to say today, that was really the most important thing I wanted to get across to everybody. Terry gave me the strength to do a lot of things that I didn't want to do sometimes. And I didn't know if I could. Reassurance saying, "You're going to be able to do it. Don't worry." I was able to do it. So, like all of you, I'll be eternally grateful for the time I got to share with him and the lessons I learned and the example he set. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Isaac. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Terry. And it feels very surreal to be in this room and not see him sit over there with paint all over his jeans and drinking his coffee. First he'd walk in and he'd look for someone to fuck with, you know, and get his coffee and come sit down. It was usually me, Kurt, or Mike, Pickle Mike at the time, or his brother. Not out of mean, he wasn't being mean, you know, but he knew that we were all struggling, brand new and trying to figure it out, and he knew it, and he just liked to give us a hard time. You know, I had the opportunity to work with Terry Striping, right, and I remember working with him, and We're in the middle. It was hot. We're outside. And he stopped and he just looked at me and said, you know, if you stay clean, you can do anything you want to do. At that time, you know, I was out of my mind. I was like, okay, dude, let's just keep working, you know. It didn't hit me till like years later, where it's opportunities. I stayed clean and I kept coming back, and opportunities opened up for me, you know, year after year. He really was the example in my life of, you just show up and you do service work and you don't brag about it. And then, like a lot of you mentioned, he would do, I mean, I think he was paying his brother's rent without telling you, Gary, you know. Even though him and his brother, they loved each other, but they didn't get along all the time, you know. But he was helping them out, you know. And he used to work with this other dude, David. And David was he was something else. Terry would give him extra money because he knew he needed it, because he couldn't had a tough time keeping his life straight. That was just the type of guy Terry was. I had the opportunity to live with Carrie and Terry when Carrie got diagnosed, you know. And to be there and to, you know, be as much help as I could, right? But really, she had gone diagnosed, and I was homeless at the time, you know, and they gave me a place to stay. And, you know, I saw the best and the worst of Terry. And the worst wasn't really that bad, you know. There's so many things that I can talk to you all about, but you all probably know. But, you know, we did the Relay for Life. I was there. Saw him in the dress. And Eddie was there too. He was in a dress. You know, it was just a lot of fun. You know, they took this dire news in stride, and they made something really beautiful about it. I got to be a part of it. I was there. And even if I was just a fly on the wall, I was so grateful for it. Every time I talked to Terry, regardless of what was going on in my life, he's like, you'll be all right. It's like, you know what, I will be all right. And to think that, you know, Terry overcame so many hardships in his life, and he never really liked to talk about it. You'd get it here and there, right? But you just knew that if Terry could fucking do this, anybody can. Whatever I was going through was nothing. And that as long as you stayed clean, you kept coming back, you know, your life will get better. I mean, years he was in my life. And... yeah, I don't know. That's all I got. Thank you.
Hey, Dan. My name is Dan. I'm an alcoholic. How many people in here have had the pleasure of doing service with Terry? Raise your hands. All right. Me too. Terry was one of a kind. Now, let me tell you how I met him. I was sitting right over there at a meeting. He was sitting in front of me with a friend of his. And they were yakking through the whole meeting. And I tapped him on the shoulder. And I asked him to be quiet. And he said, F you. But right afterwards, he came up to me and he said, you know what, I was out of line and I apologize. And I really thought that was really special, you know. Terry and I couldn't be more different. American Indian growing up in Saginaw, Michigan, and, you know, me, a New York boy. And we developed a really close friendship, me, Terry, and him. And I've lost two of my closest friends in Atlanta, Alcoholics Anonymous, and I feel it very strongly. Terry was my sponsor. He didn't check in with me. You know, I'd call him every 3 weeks or so to let him know what was going on, you know. And we stayed in touch. And, you know, I want to tell you, I'm going to try to keep it short and sweet. I'll tell you another quick story. The Monday night men's meeting that used to be at M's house, I offered my restaurant, which was closed on Monday night, to have their annual Christmas dinner. Right? So I'm down in the kitchen. And Terry comes downstairs and he looks at my pans. They have creosote on the bottom of them because they're used so much. He goes, your pans are dirty. So, you know, I threw an F-bomb at him. And I told him to go back upstairs, which he did. And that kind of became a running joke for us over the years. Terry was one, it's hard for me to say was, Terry had a huge, huge heart. He loved dogs. And for me, that's a clincher, you know? He loved helping people who were down on their luck. He loved rescuing dogs. He loved AA. He loved NA. He loved recovery. He did a lot of service for a lot of people. I was up in New York, and I was cleaning out my mother's an attic that you wouldn't believe. Anyway, I was cleaning out the attic, and what happened was I ended up getting an infection, and I got really sick the next day, and my temperature went up really high. They took me to the local hospital, which wasn't a very good hospital, and they told me that I had a heart condition, which wasn't true. But anyway, so, you know, I called Terry to tell him what was going on, and he just said, "You want me to come up? You want me to come up?" That's the kind of guy he was. He used to stay at my house when he visited. He was the best house guest I ever had. You know, always put things away, cleaned up, you know. My dog loved him. And he saw that I walk around barefoot in my home, and he didn't like that. Said, you need slippers. I said, yeah, whatever, you know. And damn it, a week later there was an Amazon package with bedroom slippers. You know, I love him, I miss him. There'll never be another one like him. They broke the mold. They broke the mold, you know. And he was my hero. He told me I was his hero, which really meant an awful lot to me. You know, what can I say? I miss him. This is a testament to how many people he touched. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. I'm Paul. I'm an alcoholic. Really grateful to be here. And thank you, Kerry and Terry's family, Patty, for putting this together and sharing Terry with us. You know you're raging when you're... God, I wish they had railings on those things. But I didn't fall, hopefully, going up or going down. Like other people, I didn't have a lot of contact with Terry, but when we did, it really mattered. I remember it maybe wasn't the first time I met him, but it was a time, I think, after his wedding to Kerry, which was one of the most joyous weddings I've ever been to. He actually looked happy, joyous, and free, and apparently nobody pissed him off at that wedding than I saw, because he didn't put him up for anybody, but it was great. One time downstairs, that's where we would see each other periodically. He's the person I first thought of the term that I now use in my life. It's called affectionate grief. There are some people, when you meet each other, you give each other, you know, the business, and then you get to what's really going on and connect. So we would do our affectionate grief. Mine was something like, you know, you're almost sober for hard-headed ex-con, tough guy from Michigan. And he would say, you know, you're getting sober for a guy who's got a head full of nothing but ideas. We would hug and then we would start talking. And one time he wanted to talk about his bike, and I told about my biking career in one of my many years off in between finishing school. I was in Mattoon, Illinois, and I was working with a jug group, geophysical prospecting. And a bunch of those guys had bikes, and they said, you got to get a bike. My girlfriend at the time found a guy who brought over a bike he wanted to sell. It was not a Harley. I'm sorry, I think it was the Kawasaki crotch rocket bike. And he gave me a verbal lesson at the side of our house. And I got on the thing, and I popped the clutch with full gas, and I ran it into the side of the house, fell backwards with the bike on top of me. That is my entire biking career. So, God bless you guys who ride in your cross-country trips. And one of my sponsorees, I have two who ride bikes. One of them I lovingly, affectionately call a sponsoré in nomine, and that's Latin for in name only. We don't actually do step work, but we love each other, and we see each other every couple of years. Not giving away any secrets here. and the other one I see every few months, and we actually work some steps. It's awesome. So it's a good gig, and I'm glad I have it. And I love them both. Terry probably was and could really come across as really hard-headed and tough. but he had one of the biggest hearts, most loving hearts I've ever met. And it wasn't bait and switch. It was just for, you know, the places he'd been, who he was, how he was raised. He needed this persona to be safe. But he actually worked the steps, including step 6 and 7, the magic seesaw that turns not drinking or using into living sober. And could, when he met you and trusted you and after the affection of grief, could open up his heart. And we did that with each other. Not often, but it meant so much. So I, too, have a head full of memories of Terry right now. And I'm so grateful to have known him and just still remember him in the present tense. So thank you.
My name's Fred. I'm not calling. After hearing all these things about Terry, I just had to get up and talk a little bit. There's some place in the book talked about we're people who would normally not mix. When he came in the 90s to start off with, I was probably wearing a three-piece suit on the side, and he was less than that over there by the coffee pot. And we didn't really get together until M's book study. And I met him in that book study, and that's where we formed a bond and a friendship. And I always knew what he was up to and doing stuff around here. He was kind of my canary in the coal mine when I was on the board and we were doing the remodel. Because I kept waiting for him to come up and say, I don't like this, da da da. He never did. He was a great supporter. And I would check in with him periodically, how we doing. And he was happy with it. Somebody mentioned he did stuff and humbly and didn't let people know about it. One of the things that just struck the hell out of me, because I've talked to him since he went down to Florida, and I talked to him the day before he died. But before, we had a guy by the name of Harry, who was one of our characters. Harry B., I won't say his last name. But anyway, he moved down to Fort Myers. And he and Terry did not get along, to say the least. And then they had a hurricane down in Fort Myers that wiped out Harry's house. Terry called him and started going down there and helping him do stuff on his own. I'd heard about this from Harry. I never heard about it from Terry when I was talking to him. But he was just a phenomenal. We've got a lot of phenomenal people here, been here over the years. But he was in the top three.
My name is Howard, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm like Fred. I'm sitting back there debating on whether or not I want to say something. Terry, and thank you. Thank you. Thank the family as well. I'm originally born from Atlanta, but I happened to go up to Michigan and work for 10 years with the General Motors. So I'm 18 years sober. So my second year, I left Detroit and came back home, started going to the 11 o'clock bridge builders. That's where I met a lot of the people that are here today, including Terry. I made the mistake of telling Terry that I worked in Michigan. Oh, you from Michigan? Okay, well, what's the last time? How do you like them snoils? Terry, I'm not from Michigan. I'm from Atlanta. Okay, next meeting. Hey, man, when you going up to Detroit? When you going to visit Michigan again? So this went on. This went on and on. I'm like, Terry, what did you hear? You're not picking up what I'm putting down, bro. As I'm sitting here and listening to all the stories, and I like it was said, I only know Terry from the meetings, but there were certain things that I noticed about Terry. He would be the first here. He'd be the last in the main meeting area, and then he'd be the last in the to leave the parking lot. I felt like he was a guardian of everybody that came to these meetings or that he came in touch with, including me. And listening to the stories, he's the epitome of step 12, practicing all these principles in all my affairs. He is an inspiration for me. Anyone that crosses my path, or to be of service in his case, to anybody that crossed his path. So once again, thank you, Carrie. I love you. Thank you so much.
I'd like little Miss Patty to come up, lead us in prayer.
Hi guys, I'm Patty. I'm an alcoholic. Everybody, I love you, Carrie. You were the greatest gift that Terry ever shared with me. Terry was my late husband and best friend. Boy, that talk about two explosions. They would fight and make up and fight. Oh, they were adorable. I'm going to read the Great Spirit Prayer, and I thought about Terry, how he lived, and he died as a warrior. He was so brave. So brave. And I love you, Carrie, Summer, Colin. I'm so glad you guys are here. And this is the prayer I'm going to read. And he always followed the red road. Oh, Great Spirit, whose voice I hear in the wind, whose breath gives life to all the world. Hear me, I need your strength and wisdom. Let me walk in beauty and make my eyes ever behold the red and purple sunset. Make my hands respect the things you have made and my ears sharp to hear your voice. Make me wise so I may understand the things you have taught my people. Help me to remain calm and strong in the face of all that comes toward me. Let me learn the lessons you have hidden in every leaf and rock. Help me seek pure thoughts and act with the intention of helping others. Help me find compassion without empathy overwhelming me. I seek strength not to be greater than my brother, but to fight my greatest enemy, myself. Make me always ready to come to you with clean hands and straight eyes. So when life fades as a fading sunset, my spirit may come to you without shame. And that's been translated by Chief Yellow Lark. Thank y'all.
Terry was like some prison punk that came here to get sober. And we basically butted heads like two rams, you know, just playing around. And we thought it was fun. Some people would call people to come settle us. But, you know, Terry, my point is Terry wasn't a saint. He wasn't always somebody you would invite out for hot dogs. I mean, you know, let's bring him home for dinner. Came about when he got exposed to Carrie. And Carrie set in on this training mission as how to, you know, make him presentable to the rest of the world. Which is basically really, really true. I mean, you know, I was just here. And but how people get connected. Because Terry used to give Kat all kind of help. Because I used to say, okay, you got to be at the mandatory meeting, which was Saturday breakfast downstairs with Bill Walker and some other people. And he would always give her a bunch of shit about, you know, being a newcomer, hanging out with old people. But when she talked about the audacity of her husband and herself throwing a crotch rocket and a rider at me with thousands of other motorcycle parts, and I remember that because Terry was there. John was there. And I forget who else was, you know, riding with us. But I can remember how things are connected here is that John, I think he called a wrecker, but John also called Tony to come pick him up, didn't he?
Claude.
He came over, came all the way up there and picked him up. From wherever the hell he lived at, but we're up in the mountains somewhere and you couldn't really tell where we were at, but people came together, people that knew each other, just folded right in. And Paul hit on it with he talks about the redemption, and so did Tom. It's like we don't all come here clean. We don't all come here because, you know, we saw the light. You know, basically we come here because we felt the heat, you know. And if we're coming here to maybe hide under a rock or something, and something happened, then we stayed, and we changed, and we changed others around us, and they changed us, and we all interact with each other, whether we actually talk to each other or not. We're, you know, your furniture in my room, you're in my living room right now. You're just part of my world. And you don't really think about that until you get old and like me, and you think way too much about every damn thing. We're going to do a musical tribute now, And after that, we're going to have, everyone is going to say the Lord's Prayer according to this. And after that, Annie H. is going to give the benediction.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me.
Alcoholic and addict. And I'm telling you, this is a privilege. When Terry called me and asked me, I'm like, absolutely, no questions asked. I'm going to say a few things and then I'm going to read the closing prayer. When I first met Terry, I didn't know how to take him. He was one of a kind, like that guy said, he was one of a kind. But I can say that he would always have a smile for me. No matter what he was going through or what kind of day it was, he would always have a smile. And also, he would always ask me about my health. If he wasn't around or if he didn't see me, he would ask somebody, how's Annie doing? You know, that's some things I'd never forget. He would always always made me smile all the time. We would laugh, we'd have a good time, and as time went on, I got to know him, and we turned out to be the best of friends, you know, and I can say that about him. It took me a while, but once I got to know him good, that was it. He was a good friend. There's two things that he would always say to me that I would never forget. His favorite two things to me was, Annie, take care of your health and stay sober no matter what. There was the main two things he always said to me, no matter what. And I never forgot it, and I would take it with me forever. So that's one of the best experiences that me and Terry had, you know. So I'm going to read this prayer, and may God bless him. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. May the rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the hollow of his hand. Thank you.